not a very like long episode this week, but it is really fun.
No, it's really fun, but it's also like cuckoo. It's
the notes.
I knew you would love this. Wait, what's headquarters?
Huh?
What's head? Oh, headquarters.
Oh my God.
What's headquarters?
Headquarters?
That was so genuine. It's so embarrassing. But it does remind me. I saw this TikTok of this girl who took a video of a sign and was like, oh my God, they forgot the O in flamingo. So now it just says flaming. Wait, flaming.
Why is that so funny?
I love stuff like that. Do you remember that Vine that went around that was like those two girls in a store purposefully like mispronouncing things? That kind of humor is my...
No, stop. That is one of... I just got chills thinking about that. That is one of the funniest videos. And I totally forgot about it.
It's so good.
It is so us. They just keep going and going and going until they cannot get the words out of their mouth. And I wish I remembered any of the things that they said. I know.
What do they say?
Listeners,
write in.
Yes.
DM. God, that video is so funny.
It is. Oh my God.
It's like that girl who's like, and I have, wait, no, what is it? Delete this. I can't even. Oh my God.
You are so obsessed lately with telling me to delete stuff on pod. It's like only the last 2 weeks.
Okay. I'm going to hit my bowl. So can you take over?
Can you take over? I was already talking.
I did cut you off. God, this chair is so squeaky. I'm so sorry if you can
hear. Minus two.
Welcome to the low budget room 47, an alias podcast. How are you doing, Maureen?
I'm good. How are you? I was just dragging your ass because I feel like lately when we're doing pod, you're so obsessed with telling me to delete stuff. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. Sometimes I delete stuff, but usually I just cover it.
If last week was anything, you didn't touch any.
Bitch, I re-listened to last week and there were three parts I wanted to cut out that I just are still in there.
Yep.
I was like, how did this happen?
I know. A new editor.
A little peek behind the curtain.
Oh my God. Speaking of peek behind the curtain, a lot of secrets this week.
Okay. This episode is easily one of my favorites I've ever seen. Easily.
Cuckoo. It's very cuckoo. Oh, we're all okay. I love recording. Oh, you're better. You look cooler when you smoke weed. I look like I'm like, what is this thing?
How do you get to Carnegie Hall, babe?
Huh?
How do you get to Carnegie Hall?
We're not talking about music.
Practice.
Oh,
Fanabla. Fanabla abbondanza mozzarella. Oh, no.
I know.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Wait, let me do the thing that you were trying to do when I figured out what headquarters.
You're live on 47.
Hey, what's up? It's Big Mo and the Jizz coming to you live from Room 47 headquarters. I love Big Mo and the Jizz with a G. It's my favorite.
Is it pronounced Jizz or Giz?
It's Big Mo and the Giz.
Big Mo and the Jizz. Into this week before I get toasted beyond words.
I was going to say we should start, but I didn't ask you how you are. You asked me how I am.
You immediately moved on to talk about something else.
I think you interrupted me, which is what just happened again. Well, maybe it's Halloween. It's Halloween, so you're being me and I'm being you.
Oh, a bit of sort of a Freaky Friday thing happening.
Yes, I forgot to do...
I have a meeting. I have a meeting.
I'm literally crying. I am full body crying. I love the way you sound like a robot. I have a meeting. I have a meeting.
Oh my God. Oh
God, we love laughing. Okay. Speaking of meeting.
Speaking of.
So the last week's episode ended with Sydney seeing that her face matched the face that was on page 47.
Yeah, I said the beginning of this episode looks like 12 Angry Men. I have to use my shirt as a tissue right now because you made me laugh so hard that there are so many tears on my face. I simply cannot move on until I address it.
You need to clean up and then we'll move on.
Clean up on aisle 12, okay? Okay, here we go, Gina. We got this.
Okay.
So the Senate Select Intelligence Committee is discussing page 47 and the fact that that lady looks just like Sydney. And like Maureen said, it looks like 12 Angry Men. And it really does. Yep. So meanwhile, Sydney is being chased by a bunch of military guys and dogs through Brazil.
Yeah, she looked so, I'm still laughing. She looked so fucking good in this scene.
She looked beautiful. Yeah.
She absolutely did. So Dr. Carson is the lady in charge of like all of like the DSR crap that's going on. And she is obsessed with Sydney. But the committee is like, again, bitch, Rambaldi, like we already went through this.
It must be so hard to pitch to no one because I'm still just trying so hard not to laugh. I'm leaving
space for you to chime in because you have notes too. And then it's just like,
because I'm pushing my face down because I'm still laughing so hard. No. I have a meeting. Oh my God.
One day, I don't know.
One day. This is going to be nothing. I'm going to be like, Gina, there's 12 minutes at the beginning of this.
It's the shortest episode
ever, but it takes the longest to record.
Yeah. Okay. So the first thing that Alias does this week is make us believe that women can work for the CIA, which they cannot. As we know, it's the first little magic trick.
Dr. Carson doesn't work for the CIA. She works for someone else.
Oh, I thought that she worked for the higher branch of the CIA.
No. The CIA is like a separate organization. So like anytime any of these other acronyms come in, it's always like, oh, these fucking guys. Yeah. Like no one's ever on the same team, even though they should.
So the secret or the Senate Select Intelligence Committee would be the SSI is what we would call them.
Sure.
Why not? Yeah. Fucking SSI. Hate those bitches.
Yeah. But the guy who's leading it is like Rambaldi. Like, we're not doing this. So Sydney is flying now, like has finally escaped these dogs and military men. And then she flies off. What do you call the thing? Parachute?
Yeah, I think so. No, I don't know if it's a parachute.
One of those glider things.
Yeah. This is not the level of white we are. This is not the kind of white. Yeah. You know, hang glider.
Yeah.
It could be a hang glider. Right. You know, I did one of those once, but it was like, not from a plane. We were like on the ground and then we went up in the air.
Oh.
And also I don't recommend it. I was in Costa Rica with Christy and I was really hungry and I tried to, it's like a, like you sit in a little seat and then a boat, I think, pulls you up in the air. Parasailing.
I think she's hand gliding. I think you were right.
Yeah. So this is hand gliding.
Anyway, that's it this week.
Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to Room 47, an Alias podcast. I am just going to continue to reflect on this throughout the episode, but the way that Gina made me laugh so hard at the beginning of this, I feel light. I feel elated. I feel stoned out of my fucking face. I'm so excited. Let's talk more about, oh wait, okay. Also, now I'm here. I've arrived.
Hello,
okay.
Maureen.
I'm here. So we got a bunch of reviews on our podcast and I wanted to say thank you, first of all, for people who reviewed and gave us 5 stars. I love you and I maybe know you personally, but also that also reminded me that there are so many people who listen to this podcast who do not watch this show. And I just want to say this is not a bad episode to jump in because it's so fucking crazy. The shot of Sydney going over the Jesus statue in Sao Paulo, like, dude,
it was pretty cool.
I was like, what is this show? It's within the first like 13 seconds.
It really is. It's the pacing and like the way that this episode is done is wild to me.
They said, oh, y'all wanted a budget.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if it was like the Super Bowl episode or something. They always do crazy shit like that.
Actually, that's a really good point. I should look that up another time.
So she's flying away, like Maureen said, the Senate committee is like, fine, okay, this is actually very creepy and you can do what you got to do with Sydney. So Sydney fills Vaughn in on her mission and does a drop. She was doing surveillance of who SD6 has presumed is the man. Meanwhile, Dr. Carson and the rest of her DSR agents, Maureen, do you know what DSR stands for?
Don't resist sexual.
Oh, you put it in the wrong order.
Oh, DSR stands for
Special Research.
Yes, that is what it stands for.
So she and the DSR agents are going through Vaughn's shit in his office. By the way, his 5 o'clock shadow, loved it this week.
He's so hot. Also, every time I see Dr. Carson in your notes, I think we're talking about Dr. Ben Carson. And I'm like, what am I looking at here?
There was a full day where I thought Ben Carson had died, but then I realized it was not him.
It was Herman Cain.
No, not that I thought one was the other. I just thought that they both ended up dying at the same time because I kept seeing their names interchangeably on my Twitter feed.
I wish Ben Carson was dead.
Want him dead. That's why his name is.
People just are wishing him harm.
Yeah. So they're going through Vaughn's shit and Vaughn is like, fuck this paranormal bullshit, basically, when he goes to Devlin's. And he's like, I'm a man of facts. This is crazy.
Also, Vaughn yells in the scene, if the NSA knows something, we should do. And I'm always saying that. Sure. I'm always saying that.
You go out and you're talking to her. You go, good night. Love you. Something I should know.
No.
But Devlin is being like annoying and coy. And then he eventually closes the door and he's like, I'll tell you what's going on. And it gets dark.
He goes, close the door. Let's kiss a little.
Disgusting. So he pulls up to a meeting with Vaughn. He's like, Sydney, forget the fucking pictures, girl. You're being investigated by the DSR. And so he goes to tell Sydney that the Department of Special Research was created in World War II to investigate the Nazi interest in the occult, which is very Gina.
Very, very Gina.
Not Brown.
Retweet.
Not Brown. We'll come back to that in the fun fact segment. Mm-hmm. Sydney is very defensive and Vaughn is kind of believing it, or at least is not as it doesn't matter. So Vaughn and Sydney, that's the full dates from the manuscripts that would prove this woman in the picture was still alive today. So there's cryptic text on it and Vaughn doesn't really know what to say, but they've been calling it the prophecy. And like Alias is really becoming Alias. So hold the fuck on, because this is where it really starts, if you can believe it.
The prophecy. So again, just zoom out a little bit, right? And none of these facts are going to be completely right. But in theory, what this show has told us now is that the CIA found an old document by some old Italian dude that now has Sydney's image on it, which contains a prophecy in an ancient Italian code.
Yeah.
Okay. And now they literally use the language, the prophecy. I just like, it's full Harry Potter. I love it. Elevates the show for me. Like, it's just, this was a show about the CIA and it was like a little bit zany and crazy, but now, you know, it's like a full journey, you know, we're going up the roller coaster. It just like elevates it even more.
Well, think of it this way. Like look at JJ Abrams' career since Felicity, like it's only gotten more sci-fi. He really has gone back to workplace college. So it's cool. It's like, he was trying to do what he wanted to do even before people really gave him the time of day.
Oh my God, Gina, that is so smart.
Okay.
No, I'm serious. This is readers. We are not looking at notes right now. This is just us riffing, having a casual combo. Gina, that's such a smart observation.
Okay, thank you.
Wow. DSR. She's funny and she's smart. Don't stop reading. DSR.
DSR. Damn, she's real smart. Oh my God, we have to choo choo. We gotta go to the next stop.
Choo choo.
Choo choo. So the DSR is now asking Sydney a bunch of questions. And I can't remember what was the setup for, like, when she was like talking about, oh, she was like, I have more questions to ask you. And then what does she say?
The DSR lady is like, we've answered freaking Ben Carson's wife, Elizabeth Carson, was like, we have answered all of your questions. And Sydney goes, just not to my satisfaction, which was very hot. Sydney in this whole scene is very hot.
Couldn't agree more. So they show her all these pictures and she has to answer questions and there's like shapes, like, what is this, kindergarten?
Wait, so this whole scene is exactly how I feel when I'm just taking like a basic eye exam at the doctor.
So true. Those are so scary.
I feel so stressed. I'm like the whole time, I'm like, especially because I have really bad eyesight. So every time I go, there's a little part of me that's like, I feel like my doctor is going to be like, you've been blind this whole time.
Imagine.
And I'm like, what?
That's so crazy.
It was so stressful.
God, that is stressful though. And speaking of stressful, Vaughn, boyfriend of the week, not yet. Vaughn is watching this all happen behind the glass. And so we see Sydney's brain patterns and her temperature and the different eye movements connected to her brain. And like fucking Haladki shows up out of nowhere and he's working on the case too. And like, he's just being a douchebag and like,
man, I fucking hate him.
And then they ask Sydney another question and the guy's like, you come to a river in the forest, do you cross it? And she doesn't answer it. He goes, you come to a river in the forest, do you cross it? Stupid ass.
I also wanted to be like, first of all, y'all are not paying me to be here. Like, please relax. Let's not get so aggressive. First of all. Also, what a dumb fucking question. Like, there are so many other factors to consider. It actually reminds me of in Donnie Darko, when they are like on the scale between love and fear. Mm-hmm. And he's like, there's so many other spectrums of human emotion. I just watched that movie this weekend, so it's on my mind.
I don't think I've ever seen it. Or if I have, it was way too long ago.
Yeah, it's old.
Yeah. So as they ask these random questions, Dr. Carson is like over the one dude's shoulder, just like jotting things down really fast and crossing things out. So Sydney is like really finding it hard not to be pissed over, we assume, the course of a few hours, but like is playing along. And then there's some Rorschach tests that she has to do. And that weird agent dude is smoking an aggressive amount of cigarettes.
Right. Like, I'm sorry. Can you go outside? Like,
so Sydney is like super exhausted at this point, and they show her this picture of a mom and a daughter baking. And they ask her what the daughter is thinking in the photo. And she goes, the girl wants to go out and play.
Dr. Elizabeth Carson and all of those other people write down literally every breath and movement that she takes, and I'm not gonna lie, I was like a little bit jealous of all the attention. I'm like kind of into it. Does anyone want to come over and record my eye movement or like whatever? I don't know. I guess like for me, what I like in a guy is like when him and all his friends sit in a room and jot down my eye responses to stuff. I don't know. That's me.
My boyfriend is crazy.
My boyfriend is so crazy.
So then fucking Haladki comes back in his dumbass head with this like mysterious
like that is literally what you wrote. And his dumbass head.
And then with like need to know info, and Vaughn's really fucking pissed about that. And so now they want to run a bunch of physical tests on Sydney. And like that's that for Sydney. And this brings us to one of our favorite segments, Line of the Week.
And now, one line from Alias.
Sydney gets up and she's really fucking pissed, and she's between Carson and a, like the biggest goon of all the agents. And he stands right in front of her, blocking her way through the door. So she looks at him and she says, "You move out of my way, or I will make you move out of my way. Thank you." I didn't do that good, but that was the gist of it.
It's great. Also, the name of that segment, again, is One Line from Alias. But
I wrote line of the week in the notes.
Because of, I thought you, you know, knew it was a joke. Up here, it says One Line from Alias.
My God, will we ever get it right?
No.
Okay. So Will and Francie are talking about going to a Lakers game, and they're talking about Kobe a lot, which just feels very awkward.
Right? God.
So Sydney is like, "I had a dream, guys, that someone gave me a prophecy." And they're like, "Yeah, that is bad news, bitch." Like, that's not...
Yes. Sydney is doing like one of her classic things where she checks in with her friends and uses sort of like masked language and metaphors to sort of ask them for advice on work stuff, you know, casual stuff like that. And she's like, "Yeah, I don't know. If you guys had a dream that you were in a prophecy, is that sort of like cool?" Or they were like, "No, that sounds really bad. Sounds horrible and dangerous."
It was a really funny scene, actually. Yeah. You explained that a lot better. So
thanks to genius.
Oh my God, you are so smart. So thanks to Sydney's surveillance photos, SC6 was able to identify the man. Alexander Kazanow, who is former KGB and close with the Russian mafia. So Sloan is like, "But we got to play this cool. The Alliance is trying to be chill about it. Like, there's no mission." Then Sloan asked Sydney if she would go visit Emily because she's not doing well, and that Sydney's visit made her really happy.
Yeah, and I feel bad for Sydney because when you're not doing like your job for your boss and you're doing sort of emotional labor instead, it's a little harder. And Emily, I feel like is serving like as a mother figure for Sydney these episodes, which I'm like, that just means you're going to die soon, lady. I know that that's what that means.
Sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong in very drastically different ways.
I love that, though. I think it's all the more fun for the readers.
Okay. So,
do you like it?
No, I hate. Okay, stop. Then Sloan tells Jack in his office that he wants Kazanow dead. LOL. So the complete opposite mood of the meeting with Sydney. The Alliance doesn't know what the hell they want. And there are like five of the board members that are like these old Soviet bloc dudes who are like, "We prefer our wars very cold." And it's like, fuck those fucking guys, though. Jack's like, "Girl, what is the plan, cunt?"
I
don't know why.
I love these notes. What's happening here? I
think this is when the cortado hit. I'm actually going to and read these verbatim because I think they're ridiculous. Five of the board members are old Soviet bloc dudes who are like, "We prefer our wars very cold." Sloan is like, "Fuck those guys." So Jack is like, "What's the plan, cunt? What's your strategy?" Perfect. Sloan's name's Bond, aka Edward Poole, and is relying on him to be a dreaded term, the swing vote.
Hey, speaking of cortado, though, the other day, Caitlin McNamara DM'd me a picture of a cortado and said, "What?"
She did that to me too. Did it say Gina made a cortado? So now,
so I made one. And I was like, I kind of want one.
She's a barista, so like, I'm proud that I inspired her.
Yeah. Yep. Shout out to Caitlin. I don't think she listens to this, but shout out to Caitlin.
We love her.
But we love her. Yeah. Okay. So Gina's crazy ass notes aside, basically what happens is like Sloan calls this dude whose name in Gina's notes, a la Very Maureen, is James Bond. His real name is Edward Poole.
It's Roger and Moore. He played James Bond.
Oh, that makes way more sense.
That makes way more sense.
Because all of the notes when I paused on Amazon were about this dude's autobiography. And I was like, why does everybody need to know about this guy so much?
It's Roger Moore. What did he say on the phone? He said something really British, very, very Broadway British to Sloan on the phone.
He said, I'm flattered you would think me so forgiving.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I just like the whole time I was looking at this dude like, damn, this is that kind of evil money. Like mm-hmm. what they, that's what they show in the movies. Evil money.
Yeah. That's what they show in the movies. Evil money. What's happening? Okay. So Poole is like, I want him dead too. And Sloane fucking hates Kazanow and is like, it's fucking war, dude. Poole then tells Sloane that he actually has intel for him and he's coming to LA. But when he gets off the phone, he looks very suspicious. So we'll see. So Sydney visits with Emily and they talk about Will and Sloane and cancer, you know, all the fun topics. And then she talks to Sydney about how she knew something was wrong. And that because she waited, now it's too late in regards to her cancer diagnosis. So basically to Sydney, like, what does she say to Sydney? It's very dramatic.
Sydney keeps getting these characters that are just like tertiary to her enough that they are kind of meaningful, but they say stuff to her that's like wrapped in triple layers of metaphors and whatever. But Emily goes, I won't be alive next Christmas. Which I, the drama in this episode, the drama and the conflama, I mean, they really took it to 11. And also, I wrote in my notes, that's me trying to get my sister to answer my texts. Emily, I know you listen to this. Answer my fucking texts.
When I read that earlier, I cried laughing. It was very funny. Yeah, so all of this shit triggers images of page 47 and the interrogation in earlier in the episode for Sydney. So then we see Sydney walking through the CIA office, clearly having turned herself in for the physical tests.
I thought that was weird because I thought she couldn't go to the CIA. Like, I thought she couldn't just show up.
Yeah, that felt like a continuity error to me because, like, mm-hmm. there's no way she could just walk through the front door.
Right.
She must have just... want the audience to assume that she did it in a back channel way.
Yeah, I guess so. They were like, we're not going to show you that part. You've seen it before.
Yeah, maybe there was, I don't know. But Poole shows Sloane that Sloane's best friend and fellow Alliance member, Jean Briault, which, oh my God, this is the funniest one. Please tell the listeners what you thought his name was.
I heard John Brioche. All episode, I heard John Brioche.
John Brioche.
Dun, 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 dun. Let's look at what Brie.
Yeah, so Jean Brioche, one of Sloane's closest friends, aka John Brioche, is a member of the Alliance, and Poole shows him that he was actually pictured with Kazanow. And he then shows him proof of like money laundering through a brokerage company, aka that Brioche has been sending money to Kazanow. So in this insane twist, Poole is like, you're the only one that can get close enough to him to kill him inevitably. Why did you put the picture with us? And now no, because then Maureen just copy and pasted a picture of Brioche in the middle of our notes. Like in absolute kindergarten.
Cause I wanted you to feel it.
It actually, I want to shove my face into it. It looks delicious.
Doesn't it look so good?
It's fluffy.
And I always say that our notes could use more pictures of bread.
You do. You do say that often.
Okay, I'm sorry. You can finish your notes.
I was yawning, so she's having fun. So in an insane twist, Poole's like, listen, you are the only one that can get close enough to kill him. But Sloane is like, there's no way this is true, and I'm not going to kill my friend, basically.
So... my note says that I don't know what they're talking about, but I figured it out by the end.
Oh, good.
Because after he killed him and like tricked him, spoilers, but yeah, but I mean, if they are listening, they probably already heard it. But also this is what my note says. What vote are they even talking about, Gina? I'm just eating my breakfast pasta over here. Like, I don't think you can talk to your boss like that, even if they're British.
It's not his boss.
I know.
Poole is a board member of the Alliance, and so is Sloane. And there's a vote whether or not they want to do a declaration of war to Kazanow. Either make it like some cold detente or just fucking murder him. Mm-hmm. And Poole is like, Brioche is in the pocket of Kazanow or vice versa or whatever. And we have to take him out basically because he's not going to vote favorably.
Mm-hmm.
So we are to assume that like Poole is not being a sneaky liar, but come on, give me a break.
But he is.
It is Alias after all. Okay. My favorite exasperated voice that comes out only on pod. New Jersey DJ voice.
Yeah.
So in a giant CIA meeting, Devlin is like pissing all over his territory. And Dr. Carson is and him are going at it about like who's in charge. And he's actually defending Sydney, which I liked.
I think that he sounds like an angry relative of Bernie Sanders, and I love it. Investigate, not persecute. Exactly. He's like, I love him.
Devlin was really cool in this scene, yeah. So while they're like,
yes, go off, cops. We love them.
Yes, cops.
Dante, you stay.
Nope. The fracking. So as we see her, while Devlin is defending Sydney, we see Sydney going through all the medical tests. So including the one of the worst things I could ever imagine, a spinal tap. I literally could not watch.
Mm-mm.
Needles don't bother me, but that, and my back was hurting this morning, and I was like, nope. Horrible.
It looked so, I didn't even watch. I was just like, yeah, no.
Not great. So Devlin is like, I get it, 9/11, yada yada, but she's not a lab rat. And then fucking Haladki chimes in, absolutely bootlicking the shit out of Carson in the DSR, basically throwing even more suspicion on Sydney and Vaughn, and saying like he's scared of her and that she has like discrepancies in her file. Like, God, I fucking hate this guy.
Yeah, you know why she has discrepancies in her file? Because she was trained in counterintelligence and thought she worked for the CIA for her whole fucking career.
That's what.
Yeah, so like, what? Yeah, she's got some fucking weird discrepancies in her file. Okay,
it doesn't matter her anymore. She's on your side. Yeah. It's very strange.
She's a double agent. Like, I would want her to have some discrepancies in her file.
Who knows? So anyway, post-test, Sydney meets with Jack and he tells her that the DSR don't actually have the original Rambaldi code key for reading page 47 accurately. And they have to reverse engineer one. So basically it's entirely possible that they are misreading all the texts because they're super desperate. And if they take Sydney in, her cover is blown, which is not good. So Sydney's like, to avoid that, I want to go get the code key. And Jack's like, for political reasons, we cannot do that. And the DSR is reluctant to collect it.
Yeah, I don't know. In this scene, Sydney goes, but Dad, what does that mean? And that's how I feel watching this to Gina. I'm like, what does that mean? But I don't even care because then they go to the fucking Vatican.
Yeah, because the code key is in the fucking Vatican.
And I'm like, doesn't matter. Now I know where we're going, so I don't care.
Exactly. Jack goes to Devlin and is like, let Sydney go get the code key, Ben, and just keeps calling him Ben, like really trying to. I love that tactic of like, I'm going to treat you like my friend and not my boss. You're not my god or my father or my boss. I love that.
I don't know who's boss anyway in this show.
Devlin is like the LA boss of the CIA there. That's what I'm gathering.
And he is bisexual or bicoastal.
Whatever you want him to be. So he's like, I get that I'm biased because this is my daughter, but like we actually have to do this. And Jack can't go because Sloan is off to London for the Alliance meeting. And he says to Devlin, I don't have to tell you what an opportunity that is.
Yeah. Also, I love Jack so much in this scene. Because he's like, yeah, I don't have to tell you what an opportunity that is. My boss is going to be away. I can sleep late and watch Netflix at work and drink seltzer.
Not have access to a lot of important secret things.
No. He's just going to chill. He's just going to like finally catch up on his Gmail inbox.
You know what? Fair enough.
Yeah.
Self-care. So Jack has convinced Devlin eventually to go behind the DSR's back and break into the fucking Vatican. And then quickly, we move on to Sloan, who's clearly woken up in the middle of the night, and he calls James Bond herself, and he
Hello? He sounded like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Roger Moore has the... He was like, hello, Sloan? and then Sloane agrees to assassinate Johnny Brioche himself.
Which I know, Johnny Brioche.
Vaughn is then like, wait, I'm gonna break into the Vatican? And then Sydney's like, I'm not going to sit on my ass, Vaughn.
What is this show? You're going to break into the Vatican is title of ep no matter what. You're going to break into the Vatican?
Not only the Vatican, okay. The secret archives of the Vatican. So,
and I just want to say that Nicolas Cage owes his whole career to Ms. Garner, because Jennifer Garner did that first. She said, I'm going to break into the Vatican and get the secret documents. Don't read into it. I don't want to know anymore. No one read into that timeline either. I don't really know what that'll look like.
So this brings us to the best segment, in my opinion. Boyfriend of the week.
Ladies, I know you know what that sound means. It's time for our favorite segment. That's right. It's Boyfriend of the Week.
So we're going to play this particular scene about the Vatican. It is so good.
All I have is an inventory number. They don't know the form the code key's in, and it's Rimbaldi, so it could be anything. I called you because I need a partner for this op. Someone I can trust.
We'd have to fly out separately,
different
undercover.
Different airports in Italy.
Meet up in Rome.
We have to leave tonight. You in?
Yeah, I'll break into the Vatican with you.
Ooh, baby!
Okay, I'm moist.
Oh, God.
I'll break it though. No, I love. Oh, my God.
I like the way that they wrote it where they have their kind of filling in the blanks.
Whoa, back up a little bit. Sorry.
Sorry. I like that they're like filling in the blanks of the mission, because like that's how good they are at the job and that's how well they know each other. Just great. Just a great team.
Oh, so cute. Also, like Vaughn, what a gorgeous little face. That's the other thing. If you're not actually watching Alias, you're missing out on Michael Vartan's gorgeous little face.
He has the biggest, most beautiful nose.
Oh, I love a big nose. Great. I want to ride his nose into the sunset. Okay. Anyway.
Is that the new Katy Perry?
Yeah, it is. Kathleen Perry. Okay.
Great. Sydney is like rushing to Rome. And what is she? What's her?
Wait, yeah. Do you love this stupid note?
Explain to me.
Sydney is leaving Francie and Will, and Francie goes, where are you? Or Will, because he's suspicious of her and her bank job, because he seems to be the only person who really realizes that you don't have to travel this much for a bank job. He's like, where does your bank job having you going? And she goes, Boston.
It's the pause. The pause is so funny.
I've never seen anyone look like they were being they were so excited to go to Boston and simultaneously like they were being kidnapped.
It's so true. Why was she so excited about it? So in Rome, Sydney and Vaughn are undercover as like electricians or something. And they have to like get into this like access to a villa that leads them to an underground access to the Vatican secret archives. So all the while they're talking about going to like eat together while they're in Rome with their little missions and their little pasta. But there were women before that singing, right?
Yeah. Well, so Vaughn tells Sydney about his favorite restaurant, In Roma. And it's very obvious to me that he is like gearing up for a date, which is cute.
Yeah.
But before that, I just feel like first of all, they go to Italy a lot.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's consistent throughout the other seasons, but it always feels like an inside joke between us. Mm-hmm. And there's this young woman like singing arias as Sydney is like, si scusi, signora. I'm like, this is Gina's fucking fever dream. She's in a jumpsuit with a gorgeous French braid. I'm like, You know what it reminds me of?
You're so right.
You know what it reminds me of? Do you ever watch
Yeah, sometimes.
Did you see the episode where Katya is going through Trixie's doll collection? And she goes, oh, this is you. Oh, this is you. This is you. And like puts together the pieces of Trixie's childhood and that why she is the drag queen she is today. Mm-hmm. When I see Sydney in a jumpsuit with a long braid speaking Italian, I'm like, Oh, this is Gina. This is Gina. This is why Gina is Gina.
I would say spare for a few real life people. I think Sydney is like the first time I can remember as a kid in retrospect being like, oh yeah, that was like a queer moment for me.
Yes.
It's actually really fun. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
It's fun to watch this as your friend because the whole time I have that filter where I'm like, I get it.
I like that. Please keep me aware of other things like that because I find that fascinating.
Also, Vaughn's Italian is bad.
Very, very bad. So they're setting up something that I cannot explain. Some sort of machine. You could not pay me to explain what the hell that thing is.
Doesn't matter, baby. It's alias.
But they built some machine that drills into the wall in order for them to explode it. So they explode the fucking wall, and behind the wall is the secret archives of the Vatican. And yes, music in this scene is crazy.
The music is so insane. As soon as they bust through the wall, it's like Halloween music meets like ska. It's bonkers.
You're so right. It was really fucking weird. It makes me think that it's one of those cases where like they had a copyrighted song when it first aired, but when nowadays, like when they put things on DVD or when they put things on streaming, it's like they have to change it because it was so crazy.
This is going to be that point again in the ep. Readers, we don't have that in our notes. That's just something Gina shared with us and knows in her big, beautiful brain. People should pay us for this. Readers?
Readers?
Readers? Listeners? What's Gina's Venmo?
I need money. It's really bad. Anyway, so they find a crate.
At length? No.
That's how broke I am. Okay, so they find a crate. So inside is a painting of some old ass Pope. And it was one that Rambaldi was the chief architect for. And so I said they realized, mostly Sydney. Sydney realizes that Rambaldi's code key is probably actually hidden in the painting. And then there's like lettering on the painting. And then
well, all while in the background, this weird Halloween ska music is just pumping us up. Also, like, as soon as Sydney reveals that painting, she goes, this is Pope blah, blah, blah. Rambaldi was his chief architect. It's like, how the fuck did you know that?
Yeah. Though these are my favorite kind of scenes in writing where it's just like, get the exposition in. We have to put exposition in. Yeah. And you're right. How, Sydney, girl, you can barely hand in your papers on time. You're not reading about Rambaldi. Okay.
Drag her. Drag her. Was a TA. Drag her. I'm a professor. I mean,
they take writing. That's all along the frame. And just as they're doing that, they're interrupted by some fucking Vatican security guard with his gun on Vaughn. And then Sydney is like, not today, Giacomo, and kicks his ass.
I read it as Giacomo.
No.
Giacomo.
Back at SD6, Sloan reveals to Jack that page 47.
Wee-oo, wee-oo, 47 alert. Still didn't make that sound. Sorry, whale noise.
Wee-oo. That was not bad.
I guess, yeah. Since you ask.
Gotta ask the whales.
Olive, stop. We're recording.
47. They found SC6 found out that it's counterfeit, and Sloan is fucking losing his mind. So he tells Jack that in all Rambaldi's manuscripts, page 47 is the page that always has important information. And Sloan is fucking tweaking, and he's like, shit is real. Why isn't Sydney here? Fuck her school. And Jack is like, shut up. And Sloan's off to London early. And before he goes, he's like, tell Sydney that she and I need to talk. He's a Zeke person.
He's really he's unraveling. It's
absolutely unraveling.
Yeah.
That's the perfect word. So John Brioche waits for Sloan as Sloan prepares his silencer on his gun, and they have some cute BFF French talk about being old men and old friends. Here we go. Hold on. What are we? Okay. Jesus Christ. Well, listeners, she's done it again. I was in the middle of reading my notes and she copy and pasted another brioche. And if I know anything there, it's the rule of three. So I can't wait for the next one.
Frank Sinatra, baby.
You're not good at pranks. Okay. So they're talking all their French stuff, and then Sloan basically like goes cold in the face and murders him anyway in the middle of a park, which was an exclusive look at me and Maureen's future when she has to kill me in a park so she can secure a lucrative solo deal with Earwolf.
First of all, they're doing all their French stuff. Also, this was so funny to me. And then it would be like us talking, doing all our French stuff. And you would go, he has my gene about like your future fifth cat. And then I kill you. And Earwolf gives me $37 a month.
Oh my God, $37 a month. A girl can dream.
Girl can dream. Earwolf, honey.
So Sloan then arrives at the ultimate part of his journey of the episode, which is the Alliance meeting in London. And this scene is what I assume is like to be a part of Trump's cabinet and or the meeting where all the GOP senators inject themselves with the young blood of their interns so they can be immortal.
Yeah, the way that they shot this scene, it's very obvious that those are the vibes. It's like only the lighting is only coming from the floor and the monitors. It looks like a Walmart board meeting. Like
it does.
It's very scary.
We kill the people this week, fellas.
How do we do it?
Yeah. So anyway, Maureen. Oh God.
You see the cursor, so she knew.
Oh my God. It's like so soon after.
I just saw his name again.
Anyway.
Okay, I won't. I will now. I can't. No. You saw it, so I can't.
Anyway, in this meeting, honor the death of John Brioche by just like mentioning it. Then it's time to talk Kaz now and what to do. So basically, do we go to war or not? So Sloan nervously watches as the board places their votes on like the little computers in front of them. But it is revealed to be 6-5, no action against Kaz now. And Sloan's face is cuckoo.
And he finally, first the 47, now this. Oh
my God. And he finally realizes that Poole played him and clearly lied about John Brioche. So outside, Sloan is like, it's you, huh? You're the one like getting paid off by Kaz now. And James Bond is absolutely gaslighting him. Sloan is crazy. Truly like a lesson in gaslighting.
Gaslighting 101 by James Bond. Yeah.
And Sloan threatens Poole that he will repay the quote unquote favor.
Yeah. And James Bond goes, give my regards to Emily. Like, diva, I won this round. Check your lipstick before you come for me.
Sloan, I don't need a sugar daddy.
If I wanted a sugar daddy, I could get a sugar daddy because I am what? Sickening.
My God, thank you. You nailed it.
Yeah, thank you. I could do the whole thing, but I won't.
We would welcome it on pod.
And then
that Kaz and I was smoking a ciggy and waiting in the car, Poole's car. What a sentence that was.
I liked it because he's not smoking a ciggy. Oh, he's smoking a fat cigar.
Oh, so stupid. So Kazanow is now... oh my God, Gina. And now we enter the last part of the episode, which hold on to your hats because a lot happens in 5 minutes. So... finally, in LA, Sydney and Vaughn meet up post-flights. So the CIA and DSR was like, fine, we'll leave you alone until we use the correct key. And then Sydney and Vaughn have this cute moment where they agree to get dinner together the next time they're in Rome. So seemingly, Sydney is free to enjoy the rest of her night.
And have a normal night, and nothing weird will happen. Nope. And that's the end of the episode.
So she meets up with Will and Francie post-Lakers game at a bar.
I made Gina sad with my note. I'm sorry. I just wrote, remember bars? Anyway.
Oh my God. So they're dancing and they're loving life. And then Sydney finally picks up on the fact that she's being followed.
I mostly wrote this note for Gina, but I will share it on pod that every time I love watching dancing scenes on shows, because every time I just imagine all of the actors standing there in complete silence being like,
we literally though, like, it's that, and it's like,
that's
it's
exactly like, what they do.
It's someone off camera being like, okay, everyone, oonce, 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 oonce.
Yeah, we're now let me get a woo.
Woo. Okay. Okay, anyway. So she makes an excuse and allows herself to be followed out of the bar by the agents.
Yeah, I have a call with Hong Kong, me when you invite me to your wedding this year. It's going to take a while. I don't know. I don't know when I'll be back. I'll meet up with you guys.
Oh my God. You.
Also, I have a call with Hong Kong is I have a meeting.
I have a meeting. So then Sydney is brought to a van and immediately restrained. And Dr. Carson and Vaughn are also inside. And she's freaking out, of course. So Vaughn tells her that Sydney's physical test results are in and that they match every single thing that Rimbaldi predicted. The size of her heart, platelet levels, etc. Like, so this info settles for her and like she's continuously freaked out. And Sydney finally asks like what the prophecy says.
Yeah. And like, just like to recap the stakes here. So the reason that Sydney is freaking out, in addition to all of the Harry Potter of this, is that now that she's been like captured or like detained by the CIA, her cover with SD6 is essentially blown. So she's like, if they know that I'm with you, then I can never go back. And my cover is blown and my dad's cover is blown. Yes. Also, yeah. I'm now the center of this old ass Italian prophecy in addition to my regular life stress.
Exactly. Yeah. So I guess that makes Dr. Carson finally be like, you know what? I'm just going to tell her what it says. So verbatim, she goes. So let me rephrase that.
Can you do it as Dr. Can you do Dr. Carson as Professor Trelawney when she tells Harry Potter he's going to die?
Sure. The woman I was just going to do that. I'll do that. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, do it.
Okay. This is hashtag the prophecy hashtag that Dr. Carson delivers verbatim to Sydney.
This woman here depicted will possess unseen marks, signs that she will be the one to bring forth my words by the glory, a burning anger unless prevented. At vulgar cost, this woman will render the greatest power unto utter desolation.
Yeah.
Let's go!
Let's fucking go! Prophecy!
Prophecy!
That was a very good Professor Trelawney. Trelawney, hon.
Trelawney. She was in my math class.
Okay. So here's that prophecy again, not as Professor Trelawney. This woman here depicted will possess unseen marks, signs that she will be the one to bring forth my works, bind them with fury, a burning anger unless prevented. At vulgar cost, this woman will render the greatest power unto utter desolation.
Her eyes are, of course, bugging the fuck out because she's like, what?
She looks like a regular olive.
She's literally like, wait, what? Oh my God. So my recommendation this week is...
Oh wait, no. Do you have a fun fact?
No. So that's what I was going to say was my fun fact I was going to do, but I decided it's better to make the fun fact a recommendation.
Hmm. So
what was referenced earlier in the episode was Nazi occult and Hitler and like why he was... Oh my God. Jesus fucking... She did it again. Did it again. Oh, the brioche is back.
I panicked. I thought you had another I thought we had another segment, so I was like, I thought I would sneak it in there. I panicked.
Why wasn't the
Yes, I think it still worked. Frank Sinatra, baby. It's a rule of threes. It's a hat on a hat.
God. Okay. So I was gonna read some stuff about Hitler and his obsession with the occult, but I remember that there's a really good podcast that covers this better than I would. And it's by the Conspiracy, Three Conspiracy Guys. You can just like look that up wherever you get your podcasts. They're like these Irish dudes that do conspiracy and like crazy podcasts. And it's like, how long is it? It's pretty long, but it's an entire podcast about like Hitler and the occult connections and all of like the way that like mediums and psychics and secret societies affected the Third Reich, like pagan rituals, ancient esoteric beliefs, and like the idea of like this Aryan race and like these godlike father race of men and all this crazy shit, even UFOs. And it's just like really fascinating because like, it's not so much that it was all true, but like, so they go through the history of like, is there a definitive connection between Hitler and the occult, or was the occult its own separate thing? I don't know, but just look up those Conspiracy Guys and then you can listen to it. It's really, really good.
That is a podcast that made Gina say podcasts are for me. That's got all of the elements you like.
Yeah, I love conspiracy stuff. It's fascinating because like, of course they talk about Indiana Jones and like, you know, all that stuff and like the Holy Grail. And then it's about like Aryan blood and alien power and all this fucked up shit. Because like Hitler had this thing called the Übermensch, which is like a theory that the Aryan bloodline holds like original DNA of Prometheans, which came from the fall of Atlantis. So it's pretty crazy. I have to recommend listening to it. It's wild.
I gotta say that I call my vagina my Übermensch. When I'm on the go,
we're like Uber munch.
Uber munch. You can eat it quickly,
like a brioche.
Like a brioche.
Do you have any recommendations?
My recommendation is Baited with Z-Way, because that's the only thing I've been watching.
The Pat Regan episode specifically.
I haven't seen the Pat Regan. I'm saving it.
I'm so
excited.
It's like 3 minutes, like a small segment on YouTube, but it's amazing.
I can't wait.
Does she have a podcast or something?
I don't know if she has a podcast, but she just signed up to do a show with Showtime. Yeah. So, but I've been listening to her. I listen to her song Universal Healthcare every day.
Oh, she has a comedy album out?
No, it's a literal music album. Hold on. I'm going to play a part of it because it's my favorite. Walking out the door shouldn't be a roll of dice. What the fuck is that deductible?
Ah! That's incredible. What the fuck is that deductible?
I listen to that every day, and I just picked my health insurance plan with my ding 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 new job, but I had to call my stepdad because even though I'm almost 30, I was like, I don't know what any of these fucking acronym means, and I just want to know if I go to the hospital, will someone take care of me?
Very me calling my stepdad to do my taxes.
Yes, big energy. Stepdads, what are they good for? Healthcare and your taxes. I don't know.
Absolutely everything. Do you remember that episode of Boy Meets World where they sang that?
No.
Corey and Topanga did karaoke on a date. It was very funny.
Ugh, I love Topanga. That, you know, Topanga, I will say, is very much a Sydney Bristow for me.
No, same.
Yeah, big time, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, true, yeah. Like a big bossy know-it-all kind of working for us, no way. With gorgeous hair, no way that works for us, no way.
The hair part
the gorgeous hair.
So
okay,
this comes to the end of our pod.
Before we go, I did want to say thank you again to the people who took the time to review us and gave us 5 stars. You're our favorite. Please, if you like the show, please subscribe, rate, and review on your podcast apps. It helps other people find the show. And follow us on Instagram at Room47Pod and listen to new episodes every Thursday wherever you listen to free episodes.
Cool. I agree.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
I concur.
Also, Venmo Gina. Okay, good luck in Russia.
Good luck in Russia. Bye. Venmo.
47 is not endorsed by J.J. Abrams, the American Broadcasting Company, Walt Disney Company, Amazon, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment purposes only. Alias and any clips, images, or names are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Room 47 is an Alien Baby production.